Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we begin our fall election series, 30 issues in 30 days. Let everyone else obsess about the horse race. We'll talk about it when it matters, but mostly we're doing issues, 30 of them, in our next 30 shows, which pretty much takes us right up to Election Day in November. Mostly we'll focus on issues relevant to the New York City mayor's race and New Jersey governor's race. But we will actually begin today with both remaining candidates in the Democratic primary for New York City controller, because they have a runoff election, which was not necessarily anticipated. But there is another vote coming in the primary season in New York on Tuesday of next week. So we have City Council members David Yaske and John Liu, and we'll do something that I think the horse race media has mostly failed to do in this race: ask the questions that focus on the essential function of the office, managing the $80 billion in New York City pension funds. If those funds don't keep up with what retirees have earned, the city by law has to fund them out of general tax dollars. And in these economic times, that's a real risk, especially in down times for Wall Street. So the controller does that, manage the pension funds, and the controller audits the city's books. We'll focus on the pension funds in these interviews. We have David Yaske first. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
Okay. Can you name the five New York City pension funds?
Yes, of course I can. Can I just object to your premise for
one
second?
Sure, sure.
The pension funds is only half of the responsibility. I don't mean only. Pension funds are very important, but it's also a job that approves the city, all city contracts, certifies the budget, audits the agencies to make sure they're doing their jobs right. So in my view, this is half the job of a policymaking leader and also half the job of investing in the pension funds.
I agree with you, and if I gave another impression, I'm sorry.
But go ahead. Not to worry. NYSERS is the big one that it covers kind of most city employees, but then there's a separate fund for each of the police officers, and that, of course, there are several different police unions, but all merge into one fund. The firefighters, teachers, and then non-teacher Board of Ed employees. Those are the five funds. And the catch-all one, the first one, NYSERS, is, of course, the biggest.
And after the meltdown on Wall Street over the last 2 years, how are the city pension funds doing, as far as you could tell? And do we have to worry about raising taxes to cover any deficit for retirees?
Well, we already have, is the unfortunate truth. This year's budget, the budget for the year that we're in the middle of now, and the city budget year starts July 1st. It runs July 1st through June 30th. So the year that we're in the middle of now, we had to raise the city's contribution to the pension funds astronomically, from $1.5 billion or so to now over $6 billion, to make up for the shortfall, and that doesn't make up for it. It just begins the work of making up for the shortfall. Now, look, Bill Thompson, I think, has done a good job. This can't be laid at his feet. Obviously, portfolios across the country, and indeed all over the world, have been hit catastrophically by the recession. So, the pension funds are no exception. But yes, it puts a burden on taxpayers. This last budget increased the sales tax by almost $1 billion. You know, you could say that paid for keeping police officers on the street and teachers in classrooms, or you could say it paid for the increased contribution to the pension fund. But either way, we've already raised taxes. Well, the goal of the next controller is to make sure that the funds are managed 100% professionally, and also with a level of honesty and integrity that avoids what we saw with the state pension funds.
Well, I do want to ask both you and Councilman Liu whether you think Bill Thompson has done a very good job in his 8 years as city controller. Of course, he's now the Democratic mayoral candidate, so you're both Democrats and you're going to want to support him. But even going back as far as June of last year, before the current crisis began in earnest, the New York Sun had this article, headline: City Pension Funds Lose Billions. It said in the 9 months leading up to March 31st, the city's five pension funds lost a total of nearly $5 billion, or 4.4%. According to data from the city controller's office, this is a far cry from projections published as recently as last month, when budget planners assumed the pension system would post no losses. Again, this is referring to the spring of last year. But then it says New York City pension funds did worse during the 9 months ending March than other public pension funds worth more than $1 billion, which posted an average loss of 3.3% during that period, not 4.4%, according to an index from the consulting group Wilshire Associates. So how good a job did Bill Thompson do?
You know, I think that there's room for improvement, to be sure. In truth, the performance has been roughly the same as the state pension funds, and indeed a little bit better than the California funds, which are also of gargantuan size. I mean, New York City is in a very small class of very, very large public pension funds. So you can't really it's, as you said, now around $85 billion. You can't really compare it to the performance of a $4 billion, $5 billion fund that can be a lot more nimble. So, but look, room for improvement. Of course there is. And it starts with 100% professional management. I think one of the reasons that I've done so well in this race so far and had the endorsements of newspapers like the New York Times, the New York Daily News, Cranes, The Observer, is my record of professionalism in the council. I don't bring a kind of political take to this. I have staffed my current office with top-tier, highly competent people, and I think people who have watched the council know that I would do the same in the controller's office. And I've said that we will get the politics out of the pension fund. It will not be a favor bank the way that the state pension fund was. You know, we saw a real scandal there with the state funds under Alan Hevesy, right, that New Yorkers should be concerned about.
And I want to get to, in a minute, what you mean by professional management, other than a lack of influence on what the investment should be. But on Bill Thompson, just to conclude this line, he was on the show last Thursday, and I asked him a question about whether he had done enough to steward the pension funds in the right direction, given the stats that I cited there from the Sun. Also, the New York Times did an assessment earlier this year that noted on a major index, New York underperformed its peers. Here's a little bit of Mr. Thompson's answer.
In this year alone, against the largest public pension funds, like the California CalPERS, CalSTRS, New York State Common, the other big public pension funds, we've outperformed them and done much better. So if you look at New York City, we're in excess right now, I think, of $95 billion. After what we've just gone through, we've protected the assets of this pension funds better than many of the other big public pension funds.
So he was disputing the overall assessment. He said, you know, there are various indexes, and when you look at all the indexes taken together, New York's funds have actually done better than those others he referenced. He also cited the figure $95 billion. You said $85 billion for the city's pension funds.
Yes, and you said
80. And I said 80, which I got from the press. So
The last public report I saw had it at 85. You know, obviously the current controller has internal numbers, so I'll assume that his number is the most accurate. But look,
well, you're running for controller. Do you have your own numbers? Have you compared New York's performance to other cities or even states to come to a conclusion for yourself? How good a job we're doing currently?
Yeah, I have, and I think that Bill is accurate here. I mean, I thought that the Times story was a bit of a bum rap, that when you compare to other very large funds, you know, New York City has done okay. Look, I don't want listeners to think losing, you know, $30 billion is okay. Of course it's not. This is a terrible crisis we're in. I'm just saying compared to other comparable funds, New York's done okay. And look, you know, compared to endowments like Harvard and Yale, which have suffered, you know, even greater losses. So, look.
And I wonder if it's a matter of the risk profile, because the New York Sun article back last June of last year, went on to say New York's pension funds may have suffered more than their peers because of heavy investments in stocks. It says they have such a high exposure to stocks that if the stock market isn't doing well, it's going to be more visible for them, said the editor of the newsletter Pension and Investments, Nancy Webman. She went on to say, but in a year when the market is doing well, they're going to be fabulous. So does this lead you to conclude that if you're elected controller, you should invest less in stocks and be more conservative, or one way or the other?
I do think that we should shift more to debt or fixed income securities and away from publicly traded equities, not by no means entirely, but I think a modest shift in that direction makes sense. You know, Brian, these are not all or nothing questions, of course, and I know you don't think that they are, but it's really a question of degree. You do want to have less risk in the Citi pension fund, maybe than in a Harvard or Yale endowment. And the reason is that when there are fluctuations in value, the Citi is legally obligated to bring its pension fund up to, you know, what the accountants would call fully funded, and that means taxpayers have to chip in the difference. And so it really plays havoc with the budget to have fluctuations. But, you know, I think it would be a mistake to say, you know, put it all under the mattress or put it all in the, you know, bank CDs, which is what some people might mean by flight to safety. We still need to earn a return. Every sophisticated investor believes that, you know, ultimately equity markets provide the greatest level of return over time. You just want to moderate the year-to-year fluctuation somewhat. And indeed, look, I still think that it has been right for the Citi pension funds, as Harvard and Yale have done, to move somewhat into what they call alternative investments, not publicly traded stocks and bonds, but direct investment in real estate, in private equity, and more investment in global markets, because the reality is economic growth, you know, we can't just invest in the United States anymore. So, you know, those are in all class of investments that are riskier in the sense of they have greater year-to-year fluctuation, but over the long run will also provide a greater return, and that redounds to the benefit of taxpayers as well.
David Yaske, city council member running in the Democratic controller primary runoff next Tuesday against John Liu. My guest, Councilman Liu, will be here next in a few minutes as you get to compare the two candidates on this particular policy question central to the job of controller, managing the New York City pension funds, and how do you do it. Now, there's a policy and labor relations debate around the pension funds, which is current right now, and that is whether the city should impose more of a two-tier pension fund on its workers. That is, make new employees contribute more to the pension funds themselves rather than have the taxpayers do as much. Do you have an opinion about that as a candidate for controller?
I do. I believe we're going to need pension reform. We can't be General Motors and, you know, drive ourselves off a cliff. And we have to do it in a smart and thoughtful way. And the best way to do it is together with the workforce. And look, the labor leaders have already moved in this direction. The teachers union agreed to changes in the way that their health care benefits are funded just a few months ago. So I think you see that labor leaders recognize this, but of course we're going to need pension reform if we're going to have a sustainable city budget.
You say drive ourselves off a cliff like General Motors, meaning the company was picking up the entire contribution to the retirement system?
And health care, you know, ultimately it was the pension and health care liabilities that proved unsustainable for General Motors, and we can't put the city in the same situation. Look, I started my career in the city budget office just after the fiscal crisis, and we all remember what that was like, when you had a monitor come in and unilaterally, you know, lay off police officers, take teachers out of classrooms. We can't have the city go in that direction. Look, that's why I've been endorsed by people like Felix Rohatyn, who helped save the city from the fiscal crisis in the 70s, and just today I'm being endorsed by Mayor Ed Koch, and I think that says a lot about my commitment to fiscal responsibility.
And he had endorsed Melinda Katz in the first round, correct?
And Melinda Katz has endorsed me as well, and she specifically cited my views on investing the pension funds in her endorsement. So, you know, I think when you look at the broad section of business leaders that say David Yaske is the most responsible person to steward the city's pension funds, I think that should give New Yorkers some confidence that I'm the right choice for this job. And as I say, endorsements by not just the New York Times, but also the Daily News and Cranes and the New York Observer.
And, of course, we'll give John Liu a chance to answer the same questions and talk about his endorsements when he follows you. But another pressure that controllers get about the pension fund and how to invest it is how much to use them to foster social policies, not just returns on the investments. There are things that the pension funds in New York currently will not touch, no matter how profitable, correct?
Well, I do believe we should not be investing in, for example, companies that do business in Sudan or Iran. Those are directly contrary to the interests of New Yorkers.
Do we currently?
I believe that the city pension funds have stopped making new investments, but they still have some existing investments.
And what about other things that the New York City pension funds will not invest in presently? Are there any?
Well, I think the way to think of it is we should be on the lookout for investment opportunities that bring in a good return and benefit New York City. For example, affordable housing. And Bill Thompson has pioneered in this, investing in affordable housing complexes in New York City that both bring a good return and are good for the city. When you look at things like Stuyvesant Town, Star City, those are ideal pension fund investments. I think we should take that a step further and leverage the pension fund ability to invest to generate private investment in sectors like bioscience and green technology. I think what the state funds under Tom DiNapoli have done here is a model. He's set aside a portion of the funds for investment in green technology. I think the city should do the same thing.
So when you, just to be clear, when you talk about investing in Stuyvesant Town and Starrett City, you're talking about as opposed to the private investor groups that wanted to take them out of rent stabilization, correct?
I'm saying those are examples, when you look at how they were built in the first place, those are examples of long-term investments that bring a good return and are worthwhile for New York City. And I'm saying we should be investing in, you know, the next Stuytown and Starrett City.
Right. Do you have any prohibitions on investing in any kind of dirty energy funds or tobacco product companies or anything like that, or that all goes on?
You know, I think you'd want to go over that very carefully with the other trustees. The pension funds are governed by trustees that include the mayor and the relevant unions, as well as the controller. And I think that's something you'd want to go over with them.
Looking at an article in City Limits, it says New York's pension funds, the 15th largest in the world, recently expressed concern about the human rights record and the national security threat of Iran by selling their $11 million of stock in Oil and Natural Gas Limited and PetroChina, companies that do business there. But the funds still hold hundreds of millions of dollars of stock linked to another human rights pariah, Sudan. The pension funds have asked many of the companies they invest in to reduce their carbon footprint, yet their largest single investment worth more than $500 million is in the fossil fuel giant ExxonMobil. And the funds have demanded the right to exit real estate deals deemed harmful to low-income tenants, but are still part owner of Walmart, a company widely assailed for its treatment of low-income workers. So would you want to take a new look at the investment in Walmart?
Look, I think that divestment is limited to cases of really egregious, you know, outlier behavior, Sudan and Iran. I don't think you have a blanket disinvestment policy from corporate America, you know, based on disagreements in policy. There, I think you work from within, but with shareholder resolutions. For example, when you own a stock in an energy company, shareholder resolutions promoting the use of alternative energy and investment in alternative energy. I don't think you want to divest broadly from large sectors.
What's the good of those resolutions? If the pension fund asks the companies they invest in, oh, please, pretty please, reduce your carbon footprint, but then you keep your biggest investment in ExxonMobil, are we really saying anything?
Sure you are. You know, this is how change takes place. You know, I've been in government long enough to know that change is often incremental. Look, when I first got into the council in 2002, one of the first bills I introduced was a bill to get all the taxis in New York City to be gas electric hybrids. That took 4 years to come to fruition. So you think it's a no-brainer? In reality, it took 4 years of advocacy and energetic, right, determined pushing.
We're going to run out of time in a minute. I want to give John Lou equal time here. So, real quick, have you ever had an accounting job?
I've had finance jobs, working in the city budget office and as a corporate lawyer representing major corporations and investment banks on large transactions.
And what's the biggest pot of investment money you've ever had to manage before?
Our own household portfolio, I wish was a whole lot larger, just our IRAs.
David Yaske, New York City Councilman, running in the Democratic controller primary runoff next Tuesday. We'll talk to his opponent, John Liu, in just a minute. Councilman Yaske, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. 30 Issues in 30 Days, our annual election series. Issue 1 today, how do you run a pension system? New York's pension system at something over $80 million. That number seems to be a little bit fuzzy right now. But listeners, you can still vote for some of the issues that your fellow listeners nominated for later in this 30 Issues in 30 Days series. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to vote for New York and New Jersey issues to explore in our election series in the coming weeks. And in addition to voting, you can see the working schedule that we have up there for the 30 Issues series. This is a work in progress, and we will keep it updated as we continue to select issues and put together segments. But you vote on some of the issues that we've designated maybes for this series for this year. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And tomorrow, by the way, issue 2, Mayor Bloomberg himself as an issue in the race with Joyce Pernick, who has just written a professional biography of the mayor, Joyce Pernick, from the New York Times. All right, candidate number 2, running in the Democratic primary for controller, City Councilman John Liu. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you? Number 1 in last week's primary.
That's right. Now, my first question to you is really the same as my first question to Councilman Yaske, and that is, how do you think the city pension funds are doing, and do we have to worry about raising taxes to pay for retirees? Might the city pension funds not perform well enough to meet their obligations?
The pension funds have clearly taken a huge hit over the last 12 months, ever since the financial collapse on Wall Street last fall. And they've been decimated from a high of about $120 billion to, over recent months, hovering between $80 to $85 billion. That's across all 5 pension funds here in New York City. There is a risk of taxpayers having to contribute unexpectedly more because of the severe downturn in the financial markets. There is a smoothing process that is employed to determine how much additional contributions, if necessary, would have to be paid into the pension funds. It's not like, you know, every single dollar of loss this year is immediately means an extra dollar of taxpayer funds that have to be contributed. So to answer your question is, I think there is definitely trouble, as there is with most municipal pension plans and even private sector plans across the country. We'll see how the financial markets do in the coming months. And again, there's a smoothing process that averages the results of several years together.
And how well do you think Bill Thompson, who's now, of course, a Democratic mayoral nominee, has done in managing the pension funds? I'll read one of the same paragraphs I quoted to Mr. Yaske from a New York Sun article.
Was he just on now?
He was.
Okay.
So the New York Sun said New York's pension funds, and this is as of June of last year, before the financial crisis really started in earnest. And it said the pension funds may have suffered more than their peers because of heavy investment. I'm sorry, wrong paragraph. New York City's pension funds did worse during the 9 months ending last March than any other public pension funds worth more than $1 billion, which posted an average loss of 3.3% during that period. New York's went down 4.4%, according to an index from consulting group Wilshire Associates. So, has Bill Thompson made the pension funds underperform their peers?
I think that I did see that report also, Brian. I have to say that the timing of the report leads one to question the premise of the report in the first place. As a finance professional for many years before I was elected to the city council, I know that you don't just look at one specific period of time, even though the last 9 months is clearly important because of the financial turmoil in the markets. You don't look at results for one specific period without looking at other periods and comparing to a number of different benchmarks. Comparing to one benchmark for one specific period is far too selective to make an objective analysis and conclusion on performance.
You're saying that you can't make an assessment?
You cannot. It would be unfair and illogical to make an assessment of fund performance based on one index and over one specific period. You really, in order to assess performance, you have to look at a range of different time periods and compare it against different indices. I think if you talk to Controller Thompson's office, they will say that if you compare against the indices that they've been comparing themselves to, they certainly do far better than that report would suggest.
And in fact, I want to play you a clip of Controller Thompson from this program last Thursday, where I quoted not the New York Sun report, but a recent, much more recent New York Times article indicating that they had underperformed other similar funds. He was responding to this Times article that said the pension funds has not done as well as pension funds invested by other states or cities on a different particular index. Listen to his response.
That was using one index, that was the Tux index, but if you look at the Russell 3000, if you look at others, I mean, we measure ourselves probably with about five or six different indexes to be able to look at how well we've done, and we've done well.
So it sounds like you stand by his answer. Have you done your
own
assessment?
I don't know exactly what he said, but I mean, you know, the Russell 3000 index is a widely used index, and it is an index of diversified holdings. So, you know, I don't even know exactly what the other index that the report used. But the point here is that it's unfair to characterize performance or underperformance based on one specific index when there are so many indices mm-hmm. out there, and to look at one specific time period when, in fact, you should be looking at a range of different time periods.
And so what are your numbers? As a candidate for controller, have you looked at this in broad perspective to come to a judgment as to how well the pension funds have been managed the last 8 years?
Well, I have not been managing the pension funds myself. I certainly have looked at the fund performance. The point here is that I am running for city comptroller to do a range of things, one of them which would be to more prudently invest the pension funds. I have advocated for more of a return to basic traditional investments and less of the newfangled financial instruments that led to the collapse on Wall Street in the first place. We have tremendous buy opportunities out there in the fixed income and equity markets right now. Many stocks are undervalued right now. This is an opportunity that we can invest more of the pension funds in there. And going into these more traditional investments would automatically increase the net return on these investments because the investment management fees associated with these traditional investments are far lower. You save 2%. That's an automatic 2% earned on your net investment return.
So in that New York Sun article from June of last year, it said the New York pension funds may have suffered so much because of heavy investment in stocks. It said they have such a high exposure to stocks that if the stock market isn't doing well, it's going to be more visible for them compared to other such public funds, which are not as heavily invested in stocks. So are you saying because of that, this is a buying opportunity? You would go even more heavily into stocks right now rather than become more risk averse into fixed instruments?
I think that there are tremendous buying opportunities in the stock market, and the stock market itself is not a homogeneous universe. There are different types and categories of stocks. We need to take a very careful look at the risk-reward profiles of each of these investments, and my goal would be to earn a superior risk-adjusted rate of return.
All right. Let me ask you about a policy and labor relations debate around the pension funds, as I asked Mr. Yaski, whether the city should impose more of a two-tier pension fund on its workers. That is, make new employees contribute more to the pension funds themselves rather than have the taxpayers do as much. Do you have an opinion about that as a candidate for controller?
I certainly do. I think that these are issues that we have to look at collectively, and there's a collective bargaining process that should be a part of. To simply impose a new system on the employees of the city is, number one, does not result in any kind of cost savings for many, many years. So the rhetoric of, oh, well, we got a budget gap to close, and therefore we must look at this, that's rhetoric that doesn't help the situation. What does help is you take the examples even this year of the governor sitting down with the CSEA at the state level, coming to terms and making some changes with regard to their benefit levels. The Mayor Bloomberg sitting down with the United Federation of Teachers and collectively coming together to craft a solution going forward. That is the way to change the system whenever necessary so that we have everybody on board. But to impose a new system, that's going to lead to a fiasco like what we saw a number of years ago when the starting pays of new police recruits was so low that it led to so many other problems.
Now, Mr. Yasky was much more stark in the way he described the problem. He said, we don't want New York City's pension funds to wind up being like General Motors. He used General Motors as an analogy, and driving itself off a cliff, not being able to afford the pension and health care promises that it has made. So a two-tier system of some kind is absolutely necessary, he said. Would you disagree with that, or are you just saying it is necessary and we just have to do it with the unions and collective bargaining?
I think this is an issue that needs to be looked at, and people have to sit around the table, and the collective bargaining process is the best way to achieve the results. The comparison with General Motors, I mean, the pension obligations for employees and retirees who are already in the systems would not be changed by a new tier. And so those obligations are already high as they are. A new tier would not in any way address the obligations as they exist. So therefore, the idea that a new pension tier would help us solve the $5 billion budget deficit that we have to address over the next 9 months is simply political rhetoric in a campaign season.
So would it be fair to conclude that you're taking more of the union's position and he's taking more of the city as manager position?
I am taking an objective position based on my experience as a pension actuary for 14 years before I was elected to the city council. I understand that changes to the pension plans result in certain kind of financial impacts. But to simply say that, oh, it's necessary to address the budget deficit, that is rhetoric in a campaign season.
Can the city just impose it? You say you don't want this imposed. You want it done with everybody sitting down at the table. Can the city impose it, or does it, by law or by contract, need to be done in collective bargaining?
Well, that's a good question, Brian. It depends on who you ask. Can the city technically do it without the agreement of the unions? Yes, that the city can do that. Can the city do this without legislative approval in Albany? No, it cannot. And so it depends. You know, the conventional wisdom is that we can talk a new tier until we're blue in the face, but is it realistic in political terms? The conventional wisdom there is no. So rather than put out the rhetoric in a campaign season, let's have everybody sit together, as the UFT did with Mayor Bloomberg, as the CSEA did with Governor Patterson, and work out a solution that makes sense going forward.
Controller candidate John Liu, my guest on WNYC. The runoff in the Democratic controller primary is a week from tomorrow. We heard just previously from his opponent, David Yasky. And just to back up one step, I think I heard, and I hope I'm not misquoting him, but I think I heard a difference in how the two of you would approach the investment of the pension funds after the losses of the last year. I think I heard him to say he would be more conservative in the investments and avoid stocks a little bit more now and go into more fixed instruments and stuff like that. And I heard you to say you would actually take this opportunity to be more aggressive. Would you contrast yourselves that way?
Well, I certainly would contrast myself with Councilman Yasky along the lines of my having spent most of my career in the private sector, specifically in finance, and now being able to combine a deep understanding of city government to be comptroller. The investment strategy that I've talked about has been consistent all along these past several months, talking specifically about how I would invest the pension funds.
But you're saying it's time to get more aggressive because you think there are bargains out there.
I don't think that going back to a more traditional portfolio of stocks and bonds as opposed to the more esoteric financial instruments out there is necessarily more aggressive. I think it is in many ways safer. It is cheaper to administer, and therefore you get the effect of a percentage saved is a penny earned.
All right. Another
percentage earned.
Another pressure that controllers get about the pension fund is how much to use them to foster social policies, not just returns on the investments. He talked about taking a new look at investments that benefit Iran or Sudan and ceasing to invest in those. Are you on the same page on that?
There are two ways that we can leverage pension funds to create social change that in turn drives up the investment value of those holdings. One would be divestment, which I certainly would be in favor, and I would enact divestment of pension funds from companies that do business with regimes that foster human rights abuses, for example, Iran and Sudan. I would also engage in a high level of corporate shareholder activism where I'd use the power of the proxy, and you know, we do own millions and millions of shares in some of the largest companies in the country. Shareholder activism and the proxy vote to force changes in company practices such as outlandish, outrageous executive compensation schemes, human resources practices that date back to the 1950s. I certainly would use shareholder activism to boost, to make change within some of these biggest companies in the country, and at the same time boost the long-term investment return for the pension funds.
Would you consider having the pension fund invest less in ExxonMobil? I quoted to him, as I'll quote to you, an article in City Limits that says the pension funds have asked many of the companies they invest in to reduce their carbon footprint, yet their largest single investment, worth more than $500 million, is the fossil fuel giant ExxonMobil.
Absolutely. I'd look at that right away. In today's capital markets, there is nothing so unique about one investment holding, even if it is a large company like ExxonMobil, that you cannot produce the same kinds of risk-return ratios with other investments. In other words, there are plenty of alternative investments that achieve the same risk-adjusted rates of return without encouraging or abetting some of the worst practices there are.
Now, this is a difference between you and Mr. Yasky, because he seemed much more reluctant to try to use investment decisions in this kind of social way. Can you really replace, I mean, ExxonMobil, you know how they've done over the last few years. Can you really get as good a return so easily by moving money?
I do not believe that ExxonMobil has a unique risk-reward profile that cannot be achieved with any other investment out there.
How about Walmart, which the City Limits article says is widely assailed for its treatment of low-income workers, and even though the pension funds have demanded the right to exit real estate deals deemed harmful to low-income tenants, you're still part owner of Walmart. Is that a company you would take a serious look at divesting or partially divesting from?
I would certainly engage in the proxy vote to change some of the practices within that behemoth company. And if that fails, divestment is something that I would certainly look at. You look at the business model of this company that admittedly they have achieved very high returns, but at what cost, at what expense, and is it sustainable in the long term? The answer is that on the backs of its workers, on the at the expense of small businesses that dry up anywhere the Walmart comes into place, that kind of business model is not sustainable over the long term, and therefore would not be a good long term investment holding for the pension funds.
We have a minute left. I want to give you the same opportunity that he took to mention any endorsements or new endorsements. He mentioned that Ed Koch, who had endorsed Melinda Katz in the first round, has now switched over to him. Anyone new for you after the first round?
There have been a number of additional endorsements, people who have supported Melinda and Dave Weppern, who have run good campaigns. You know, there are lots of endorsements out there. The point here is that I'm running for comptroller based on my qualifications, my professional qualifications as a pension actuary, as a manager at PricewaterhouseCoopers before I was elected to the city council. And in the city council, using that fiscal expertise to go after the Metropolitan Transportation Authority's financial discrepancies, to call the Department of Education to task when they have played numbers games on the public without necessarily improving the education of our kids. I'm running based on my qualifications and my vision for the comptroller's office. And when Citizens Union gives me a glowing endorsement in this race for comptroller, as well as dozens and dozens of elected officials, unions, business groups, organizations like Tenants PAC, these are endorsements that are important. I value them. But at the end of the day, I'm running on my merits. I'm running on my qualifications and my vision for the office.
So as I ask Yasky as the concluding question, what's the biggest pot of investment money you've ever had to manage?
Well, as an actuary, I ran the valuations for pension funds. I think the largest one was about $15 to $18 billion. We set the asset allocation and devised immunization strategies for the long term with regard to those pension funds.
All right. City Councilman John Liu running in the Democratic controller primary runoff a week from Tuesday. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, a new way for Jews to observe the High Holy Days. Stay with us.